Bobbo hobbled in front, with Phil at his heels. He led them on a southerly tack through the twisting, winding canyons, keeping up a surprisingly lively pace, now disappearing into shadowed recesses and materialising into bright sunlight. Sometimes they crunched upon small pebbles, other times pattered across damp sand, occasionally splashing through sun-warm shallow pools. Finally, they arrived at their destination. Bobbo leaned against a monumental edifice.
"Well now, friends, here is the very place."
This rock was much larger than any they had previously encountered. It was almost a small mountain set in the sands, giving the impression of some vast primeval monster squatting upon the shore with its back to the sea. The Dormouse led them to the east side of the rock, where a huge overhang projected over a pool that was both wide and deep. Dandin looked about, expecting to see a swallow perched somewhere close. Bobbo pointed to the pool.
"See? Right at the bottom, lodged between two rocks."
Gathering around the rim, they peered into the underwater grotto. Through the clear, limpid water, aided by lancing rays of sunlight, it could be dimly seen. No bigger than the size of a mouse's paw. A swallow, fashioned from metal, its outspread wings partially obscured by the rocks, which held it captive amid the brightly hued sea anemones and corals on the bed of the pool. Dandin shook his head in amazement.
"How did you ever find it, Bobbo?"
"Fishing, young master. I was fishing for shrimp one day, sitting here, staring down into the pool, when I saw it glint in the early sunlight."
"And didn't you try to get it out?"
"Ah, well, I did try for nearly half a day with my hook and line, but it was too smooth and firmly lodged in the rocks, so I had to leave the little bird, you see. Then, after I found Furl, I brought him along to this place to dive for it. Newts are excellent swimmers."
"Of course they are. Why didn't Furl get it?"
The small newt scampered down from the rock and cringed against Bobbo, eyes wide and throat palpitating madly.
"Ah, well, you see, it is not only the little bird who lives down at the bottom,"
the Dormouse explained.
"There is also a great shell creature, one with claws like vices, great eyes on stalks and long whiskers. Poor Furl lost his tail to the beast. It has only lately grown back. I would not let him go down there again. No, not ever."
Bobbo produced a piece of oatcake from his long coat. Powdering it, he mixed it to a paste with some water and moulded it around a small pebble.
"Watch now and see."
He dropped the coated pebble into the pool close by the edge. They gathered around and marked its progress as it sank rapidly to the bottom of the water. Near the part where the swallow lay, the pebble came to rest. It had no sooner landed than a gigantic blue-black lobster rushed out of a crevice, pounced on the stone and retreated swiftly with the object held tightly in its enormous pincered claws. It all happened so fast that the onlookers were stunned into momentary silence. Bobbo shrugged.
"So you see now, wayfarers, is it not a dreadful monster?"
Durry blanched.
"It's even too horrible to look at, Mr. Bobbo."
Marielle's jaw was set firm and resolute.
"But I've got to go down there and rescue the swallow."
"If you go down, then I do too."
There was determination in Dandin's eyes.
Oh, dash it! Count me in as well, you chaps."
Marielle shook her head.
"No, Tarquin. You and Durry stay up here with Bobbo. We need you two to lower us down and pull us out quick. Now let me think a while. I'll have to figure out the best way to do this."
Durry mopped his brow and blew out a sigh of relief.
"Thank my stars. My old uncle would have a fit if half a poor nephew walked back in on him one of these days. Best we stay up here, Mr. Woodsorrel. Just think what your hon Rosie would say if you turned up with no nose and only one ear. Bet she'd be rightly peeved."
"Peeved? Peeved ain't the word, young Durry. Rosie'd take a screaming blue tizzy if she saw a magnificent specimen of Harewood minus a hooter and a lug. Good grief! I'd have to run off and become a belly sea rat or something equally foul."
It was noontide before Marielle and Dandin came up with a workable solution. They went back to Bobbo's cave, where they gathered together what rope they could find, plus all the cooked shrimp and small fish they could lay paws upon. Back at the pool, Marielle explained her strategy to the others.
The idea is to throw as much food to the lobster as possible. Let's start right now. Dury, Tarquin, chuck the shrimp and fish in. I want you to keep your eyes on the lobster. Once it stops coming out to get the food, let me know. Dandin, you and I will search about for two rocks. We need something to weigh us down and make us sink to the bottom of the pool. While we're down there, you keep watch with the sword ready. I'll get the swallow, then Dury and Tarquin can haul us up out of it.
Soon the final preparations had been made. Marielle and Dandin sat on the rock lip of the pool, with ropes tied about their waists. The Mouse Maid put aside her gullwhacker. It would be useless underwater. Dandin took off his scabbard and held onto the sword. Dury and Tarquin were still dropping odd bits of food into the water.
I think the old lobster villain's had enough. He's not bothering to come out for any more tucker. The water's teeming with jolly nice fish and shrimp, but he seems to have had a tummy full. Great glutton.
Both mice picked up their rocks. Bobbo gave final instructions.
Now then, do you go straight down and get the bird. Tug on the ropes and we will haul you up fast. If we see the creature come out, we will pull you up, whether you have the swallow or not. I wish you both luck and good fortune. Now, take a slow, deep breath.
Side by side, Marielle and Dandin slid into the water, the coldness forcing them to take deep breaths. Then the weight of the stones took over. With eyes wide open, the pool closed above their heads, and they began their descent into the silent aquamarine depths of the watery world.